Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Janelle, and
Elora,
Shayna.
I graduated from Laytonville High School in 2007 and am attending Mendocino College. Shayna and Elora are current students at Laytonville High. Today, our topic is birth control and family planning. I suggested this topic because I know that many students and parents in the community are not up to date on the various forms of contraception. As well, many are unaware of the local family planning services available at little or no cost to students and young people, as well as older people. We are going to provide a lot of information in the first part of the show, and then we will open up the phone lines for your questions and discussions.
Many young people today are sexually active, which exposes them to the possibility of pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, formerly referred to as STDs. The rates of teen pregnancies in California have been steadily decreasing for the past two decades. The rate of teens giving birth has also dropped to a record low, with experts crediting more comprehensive sex education and the availability of health services. Still, 72% of teen pregnancies are unintended. Before we begin our discussions on types of birth control, we'd like to give you some specific information about the services available in your area.
In our county, there are a wide range of services available to teens through a program called Family Pact. Teens have access to these services, usually at no cost, without parental notification. The services include education and counseling on contraceptive methods, contraceptives including condoms, periodic physical exams, pregnancy testing, STI testing, as well as breast and cervical cancer screening. Plan B, or the morning after pill, is also available. Many services are also offered to men, including STI testing and treatment, condoms, and periodic physical exams. All of these services are 100% confidential. Family Pact also offers painless STI testing, including the rapid oral HIV test, which only requires a saliva sample. This test, 99.8% accurate, and the results are available within 20 minutes.
In choosing any type of birth control, one has to examine the risks and benefits of each method. All the methods we are about to discuss, besides abstinence, have risks, whether it be a greater risk of getting pregnant, a risk of STIs, or the risk of weight gain, hormonal changes, or nausea. No single method is right for everyone, which is why we will be discussing many different options. What method you choose depends on your unique circumstances. The most basic and effective form of contraception is abstinence, that is, not engaging in sexual activity. It is free, requires no devices or pills, and is 100% effective in preventing pregnancy and STIs.
The first form of contraception we are going to talk about is called the hormonal method. Whether administered as a pill, patch, shot, ring, or implant, hormone medications contain manufactured forms of the hormones progesterone, alone or combined with estrogen. Hormonal methods work in a combination of these three ways. 1. Preventing a woman's ovaries from releasing an egg each month. 2. Causing the cervical mucus to thicken, making it harder for sperm to reach and penetrate the egg. 3. Thinning the lining of the uterus, which reduces the likelihood that a fertilized egg will implant in the uterus wall. Hormonal contraceptives do not protect against the transmission of sexually transmitted diseases. The biggest changes in contraceptives are the various forms of hormonal method.
The first method I would like to talk about are the longer-lasting ones. Many people might be under the impression that these longer-lasting methods use more hormones than traditional pills. But in fact, many of them lead to lower levels of the hormones because the hormones are distributed more evenly without spikes in levels every time you take the pill or change the patch. The first type we'll be explaining is the intrauterine contraceptives, or IUC. IUCs are placed directly in a woman's uterus by a doctor and last between 5 to 10 years. The specific IUD I would like to talk about today is called Mirena, and it lasts 5 years. Mirena releases small amounts of hormones directly into the uterus. Because of this, very low doses of the hormone is used. The hormone used, levonorgestrel, is a type of progesterone hormone commonly used in birth control. This means that this method has similar risks to traditional birth control pills. It is over 99% effective and can also be used to treat heavy menstrual periods. Because IUCs are placed inside the uterus, they do have a few additional risks. In rare cases, the IUC can tear the inside of the uterus. And although IUCs are approved for women who have not had children, they can sometimes be pushed out through the cervix and the vagina, in which case another backup method must be used. While you have an IUC, it's also very important not to get any sexually transmitted infections like gonorrhea or chlamydia, because these infections can travel up the string into the uterus and possibly cause infertility. Another long-lasting method is called Implanon. This method lasts for 3 years and is 99.9% effective. Implanon is a small plastic rod that reduces low doses of progestin. It is inserted under the skin in your arm by a doctor. This is the method that I'm currently using, and I had Elora and Shayna feel it. You can feel it just a little bit in my arm, but you can't see it or anything. There's no scar. And the insertion takes about 10 minutes, and I know it does sound scary, but it, in my opinion, it wasn't painful at all except for a shot of Novocaine to numb the area. But, you know, it wasn't any worse than getting a flu shot. Because this is a hormonal method, it has all the same risks as the pill, and we'll explain those risks more later on in the show. There are also several other types of hormonal methods that have the same risks as the pill, and these include a patch called Orthoevra, which can be placed in several different locations on your body, on your hips or arm or back. And this method, you change the patch once a week, and there can sometimes be a little bit of skin irritation. But I used to use this method, and I never noticed any skin irritation because you just change the location of the patch every week when you put a new one on. There's also another method called NuvaRing, which is a small vaginal ring. It's similar in size and shape, I guess, to those jelly bracelets. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
And it's a little smaller, though, and it's very flexible. You can bend it in half. And you just insert it into your vagina, and it stays up there. And this is 92% effective. It's pretty easy to put in, about as easy as inserting a tampon. Maybe it could sound a little intimidating, but honestly, it's a lot easier than it sounds. And you can't feel it at all once it's in. Another method, the shot, Depo-Provera, is given by a doctor once every 3 months. And is 97% effective. Depo-Provera has many of the same risks as the regular hormonal methods, but if you use the shot for more than 2 years, it can lead to some bone loss. And some studies have shown that in teens, sometimes this bone loss does reverse itself sometimes after the shot is discontinued. Some common side effects of hormonal birth control methods can include irregular bleeding depending on the method, nausea, headache, mood changes, breast tenderness, and weight gain in some methods, except for the Mirena IUC. Birth control pills can also lead to a higher risk for blood clots, so you should not take them if you're already at high risk for some of these things like stroke and blood clots and a few other specific things that I don't have in front of me right now. But these risks also increase due to other factors, like if you're over 35 or if you smoke. So if you have certain factors, you should talk to your doctor before starting on any of these methods, because they are hormonal methods. They do change the chemical balance of hormones inside your body, and that sometimes can lead to certain risks.
Another form of contraceptives are called barrier methods. These prevent the sperm from reaching the uterus. These include male condoms, female condoms, diaphragms, cervical caps, and contraceptive sponges, most of which are used with spermicides. The male condom is the most common type of contraceptive barrier. Both the male and the female condoms have the advantage of preventing STIs, but their rate of preventing pregnancy are only about 79 to 85% effective. Spermicides are chemicals designed to kill sperm and are available at foams, jellies, and vaginal supports. Often they are used in combination with other barrier methods. Diaphragms and cervical caps are fitted by a healthcare provider. You must put them in each time before you have sex. Diaphragms are 84% effective in preventing pregnancy, and cervical caps are 68% effective. The contraceptive sponge is similar to these other methods, but can be purchased in a drugstore. Like the cervical cap, it is 68% effective.
Another form of contraception is called fertility awareness or natural family planning, also known as the rhythm method. It involves monitoring natural body functions to calculate when ovulation is occurring. This method uses monitoring of body temperature and cervical mucus each day to determine the possibility of getting pregnant. Abstinence, or another form of contraception, is then required during the 7 to 10 days of the ovulation period. This can be pretty effective at preventing pregnancy, about 75% effective, but does not protect against STIs.
The most permanent form of contraception is sterilization. Female sterilization involves the surgical closing of the fallopian tubes, which carry the eggs from the ovaries to the uterus. Male sterilization involves the surgical closing of the tubes that carry sperm, also called a vasectomy. Sterilization is between 99 and 100% effective at preventing pregnancy, but completely ineffective at preventing STIs.
We also want to talk briefly about Plan B, which is the morning after pill, is most commonly referred to as. And this is not to be used as a regular birth control, but it is meant to be taken if you have irregular birth control use, if you skip two or more birth control pills, or if you know, if you're a few days late changing your patch or something similar, or in the case of any unprotected sex, if you're not using a birth control plan. Plan B contains a high dosage of the hormone progestin, and this reduces the chance of pregnancy by about 89%. This has been subject to some questions and discussions, and I think one of the common misconceptions is that it is the same as a drug called an artificial steroid called RU486, which has been used for a long time as an abortion pill. And the Plan B is not the same as RU486. It is Plan B has levonorgestrel, which is the same hormone that's commonly used in lots of birth control and is used in the Mirena IUC method. And some of the, because this is a slightly higher dose of the progesterone hormone than regular birth control, there have been questions about some of the adverse effects. And I do have a list here of some of the effects. Some women have, about 30% have noted heavier menstrual bleeding after taking the Plan B. 13% have noted nausea and lower abdominal pain and some fatigue, and about 10% of women who have used this have noticed headache in increased headaches in the days that follow. And Plan B is available at Planned Parenthood. And now, speaking of Planned Parenthood, I would like to give you all some of the numbers and locations of the providers that are in our area. In Willits, at the Mendocino Community Health Clinic, they offer Planned Parenthood, and their number is 707-456-9600. And we will be giving out these numbers again later on in the show. Another site in Potter Valley is the Potter Valley Community Health Center, and their phone number is area code 707, again, 743-9931. We also have the Long Valley Health Center in Laytonville, and that number is 984-6131. In Fort Bragg, there are several clinics. It looks like five. I'll give you the numbers of two of them in the interest of time. We have Mendocino Coast Clinics, which is 964-1251. And there's also Mendocino Coast Hospital, which is 707-964-5381. Again, these are, there's a couple others in Ukiah. We have the County of Mendocino Family Planning Clinic, and their phone number is 472-2700. And there's also Mendocino Family Health Care, and their number is 937-4202. Again, these are numbers of providers in our area that offer the Family Pact program, which, if we have time, we'll definitely discuss further on in the show. We're now going to continue to discuss our topic, birth control and family planning, for a few minutes. Then we'll open the phone lines for your questions, comments, and insights. The purpose of this show is to engage the community in listening to young people speak about what is happening in our lives. We do believe that your input is equally important in creating connections between the youth and the adult population. We are at the Willett Studio, and our phone number is 707-456-9991. Again, we will be opening the phone lines later on in the show. So, I have a question for you, Shayna and Alora. What kinds of programs do they offer at Laytonville High School now to teach about birth control or STIs?
So once a year at Laytonville High School, we have a health day where we have a couple people come and talk to us about condoms and sexually transmitted diseases and how to get a hold of a clinic if you need to talk about birth control or any kind of family planning kind of thing. And they have a family pact at the Laytonville clinic that you can talk to through counselors at your school. Most of counselors probably do. I know our counselor definitely helps if you need to make an appointment at the clinic.
Have you guys found that that's a really important service for you guys? Would you feel uncomfortable walking into the clinic yourself or calling the clinic and making an appointment for birth control?
I personally don't get, nervous about it, but, quite a few of my friends are really nervous, and they're always scared that, their family will find out, but our counselor, is really good at making sure that it's personal and it's private and nobody really knows.
Does she take you to the health center, or do you go after school or during school hours if you made an appointment through her?
She makes an appointment for you, but she might take you. I don't know anyone that's usually, asked. They usually have, their best friend walk with them over there.
Do they do it during school or after school?
You can get it during school or after. It doesn't matter. It's depending on how, comfortable you are with, your parents' schedule, if you do it privately.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Okay. It's definitely 100% confidential because there is a back door, even if you know, someone who works at the clinic that you can go through if you don't want to be, seen or by anybody going in there. And so I definitely think that's a good part for high school students who don't want other students or people knowing what they're doing there.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me anything? I haven't been there in a few years, so can you tell me anything specific that you remember about the health day? Anything helpful or interesting?
I can remember that, we had little workshops, mm-hmm. and one workshop in particular was a simulation of transferring fluids.
Okay.
And it was, to see, it's about getting STDs.
Okay.
And so everyone had a test tube full of a clear liquid. And one of the test tubes had a chemical in it that would, eventually, at the end of the simulation, would turn pink.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the STD.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go around with, this little eyedropper, and you share your fluids with whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally decided I was going to be abstinent and not share my fluid with anybody.
Yeah.
And at the end of the simulation, I ended up having the STD because my fluid turned pink. So it was pretty funny.
What do you think would have happened if, say you had share your fluid with Laura and then maybe she had shared with three other people or something? I mean, I think the point of the simulation was to see how easy it is to spread STIs.
Yeah.
Is that, did the point, I mean, even though you were the only one with STI, do you think that the point, that simulation really reached a lot of students? Do you think it was effective?
Yeah, I think it, like, probably, like, showed them. Because I noticed that they mostly shared with, like, their friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't share with anybody, but...
I think it probably would have been more effective if it had gotten around to a couple people.
Let's say, like, everyone in the room asked me to share with them, so I think they're pretty happy that I didn't.
So if you had said yes to everyone who asked you, then probably everyone would have gotten this. Yeah. So most of the students were pretty, even though it was just simulation, were they, like, pretty interested in sharing fluids with everybody? Was that, like...
It was all the girls, like, and most of, I think it was the juniors and sophomores this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, at their workshop, so it was...
And so we're all like, ooh, I'm going to share my fluids with you. So it was kind of more of a joke to most of us.
A silly thing.
But yeah.
Okay. So I have another question for you guys. Where did you first learn about sex? did you learn from teachers, or did your parents talk to you first, or did you learn more from other students in your class?
First, I would say I probably learned from my classmates.
Okay.
Like, and also, like, curiosity. Like, you can tell, like, TV is a huge thing now, and just, like, it's pretty blown up to, like, be impossible not to know now.
Yeah. Do you think that the information you got from them was factual, or do you think maybe you could have gotten some better info?
From my classmates, it was pretty, like, definitely something I shouldn't have believed in.
Yeah.
But as, like, I got older and through school, like, into middle school and stuff, like, teachers became more, like, had more information. And I learned a lot from my mom. Like, as I got older, my mom was, like, one of my people that I got a lot of my information from. So
you feel comfortable talking to your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Elora? Who
do
you talk to, or who did you talk to when you were younger and first
learning
about
this? When I was younger, the first person I pretty much talked to was all my friends. And then Jema and just a whole bunch of people. There's just really cool people that you can talk to.
Through the
to.
High school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can always talk to your parents, but sometimes it's uncomfortable to talk to your parents about that kind of thing, so you do go talk to your friends, but it's really important to talk to people who know what they're talking about and older adults and everything, because they do know more factual information, whereas you can get silly things from movies like, it's a girl's on top, you can't get pregnant, which is definitely not factual, so... It's really important to get factual information.
Do you guys feel that parents and adults and you know, people working at the school in the community, do you feel like they're willing to give out this information, or is it hard to engage them in conversation? You know, do they feel awkward or?
Well, I feel like we live in a small town since we're from Laytonville, and everyone's really close. Since we live in such a small community, and it's really tight. And I think that, the most of the people that I talk to are really open to making sure I know what's happening, I know what I'm doing, or if I have any questions, they usually tell me about it. And there's a lot of help I can get constantly, and it's really open about that kind of stuff. I just think that there are a lot of strict parents, and there's a lot of, like, people who want to keep a reputation of not, like, because sex and being sexually active, like, that's a huge thing for a lot of people, and it could ruin reputations, and it also couldn't, like.
Do you think some young people are afraid to ask about sex because they think that others will perceive them as being promiscuous, like being very sexually active?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
I can see that. That makes sense. So at the through Family Pact, you can get all these services, birth control and counseling and information. You can get this 100% confidential. You don't have to have any parental notification or approval from your parents before you can make an appointment or talk with anyone. What do you guys do? You think that this is a good thing, or do you think that it increases the likelihood that that students will be sexually active?
I think that if you have, like, a meeting with a healthcare provider or a person at the clinic, it's not specifically that you're going to be sexually active, but you can just go and learn, like, a whole bunch of information about it and, like, see what's going to be best for you when you get, like, older, or just see what your options are.
Definitely.
In a way, I feel like it can, like, it has hired the percent, like, of people being sexually active, because a lot of people that I know wouldn't be sexually active if they didn't have that opportunity to be able to be safe. Like, okay. They're smart enough to know, like, they don't want to do anything if they aren't protected and they don't have backup, but, like, having that makes it to where they have more of a chance to be sexually active, and so I'm not, like, I don't know.
Sounds like you know lots of smart kids.
Well, they are smart.
No, I mean that. I think in our community, I definitely think it's smaller, and students do have more interaction with adults, and they do have, you know, different moral standards and stuff within the community. I think in other areas, though, I think there are lots of young people who are sort of more reckless or more don't think about the consequences as much, and I think that there are definitely lots of young people, I remember when I was young, who would sort of throw caution to the winds, and even if they didn't have a birth control method, I think they would sort of go out and do it anyways because, you know, all the pressure, and there's lots of pressure these days, like you were saying, Shana, from the media and stuff, I think is definitely a big deal.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of peer pressure now from, especially in guys.
In music.
Yeah, definitely in music. Every rapper's rapping about it.
I do want to give out some information about the Family Pact program and about who can enroll and who's eligible. And I do have the form here with me. It is based on income, and you do have to put down your income. But I believe when I filled this out for the first time, there is a box that says, do you need to keep your family planning services confidential from your partner, spouse, or parent? And if you check yes, then you are qualified under the confidentiality area. That's your reason for applying for the Family Pact program. So they do ask you if you have Medi-Cal, if you have other insurance, but if you do, that's okay. You just put down the information to the best of your knowledge, but you do still qualify if you want all your services to be kept 100% confidential. So it's a double-sided piece of paper. It's nothing very scary, but the scariest thing that they ask is they do ask for your name and your social security number, which you pretty much have to give out everywhere nowadays. And they ask for your mother's first name, which I found interesting. If any of the listeners know why they asked that, please call in and let us know. That did confuse me a little. But it's very easy to sign up for the Family Pact program. And you just go into the health center, like Shana and Alora were saying. It's easy to make an appointment there through your school, or you can just call and go in. And all these services are available in other areas, too. And I would like to take a second to give out the numbers once again, since we're on the topic of Planned Parenthood. And the first provider that I gave is the Mendocino Community Health Clinic. And their number is 456-9600. The next one is the Potter Valley Community Health Center. Their phone number is 743-9931. The Long Valley Health Center, located in Laytonville, their phone number is 984-6131. In Fort Bragg, we have the Mendocino Coast Clinic. Their phone number, once again, is 964-1251. And also in Fort Bragg, we have the Mendocino Coast Hospital. Their phone number is 964-5381. Let's see, we have in Ukiah the Mendocino Family Health Care Center. Their phone number is 937-4202. And the Mendocino Community Health Clinic is 486-1010.
What do you guys think about the when they talk about getting STDs from everyone, like the simulation that we had, and preventing STDs, they talk about how birth control isn't always, like the birth control pills or some of the things aren't protective against STDs. And so definitely I think using two kinds of birth control, say using the pill as well as condoms, is definitely more effective than just using one type. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely agree with that, and it is true that there are all these different types of hormonal or natural or barrier methods of birth control, but the only things that protect against STIs are male and female condoms. So I think that that is a really important point to bring up. You know, it's easy. Maybe young people might you know, think, oh, I have the shot. I don't have to worry about anything from now on. But you don't have to worry so much about getting pregnant. But STIs are really definitely prevalent in this area and in all other areas. And the two most common STIs for young people right now are gonorrhea and chlamydia. And those can be cured with medication if you go in right away. Have you guys heard any information through your school about how you might know if you have gonorrhea or chlamydia? Are there any like warning signs that you've heard of, or is that information available?
At Health Day, they did have a whole presentation on like how you know, like they give us all the symptoms and how you can tell if you have gonorrhea, chlamydia, and a whole bunch of other STDs. Also, if you need to get information, you can always just call in the health clinic and probably talk to a healthcare person and ask just all the symptoms and everything if you're not sure if you have one or not, because there definitely are some prominent STD symptoms, but if you feel like that you may have been exposed and that you may have an STD, that it is definitely better to go get checked and by a clinic to see if you have it or not.
And getting tested for gonorrhea and chlamydia, it is just a urine test, and you can do it at any of these family-packed centers. And it does take 2 weeks, though, for you to get the results back, because they have to send the results away to the lab. However, as we mentioned before, the new HIV test, it's a mouth swab. It's very easy, totally painless, and those results are ready in 20 to 30 minutes, so you can get them during the same visit. And another one of the STIs that I really do want to mention is the human papillomavirus, which is more commonly known as genital warts. And this is a serious STI because genital warts can sometimes lead to cervical cancer. If you're a female and you get the warts on your cervix, that can lead to scarring there, which can cause cancer. And they do have a new vaccination called Gardasil, which does protect young women from the majority of the different types of the human papillomavirus. But this is supposed to be given very early, like in adolescence, around 11 years old, even before the young women are sexually active, because it needs to be, you know, you need to already have the antibodies in your system so that you don't initially get any of the HPV viruses.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard anything about the Gardasil, the HPV vaccine?
I've had it.
Me too.
Like, a case of like 3 different shots after, like, I think it was 3 months in between I had to wait. And
yeah, that sounds right. Shot, yeah, I can't remember
the time. But they were really, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't really know much information about it when I was getting it, because it was mostly my mom's idea. But
I had them too, and the shots weren't bad. They were, you know, like about a flu shot, better than the vaccinations they give you when you're a kid.
The last one I got made me kind of sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know what it like triggered it, but yeah, it's definitely
interesting.
Nauseous,
yeah. I have another question for you guys. I mentioned earlier that male and female condoms are the only things that protect against STIs. Do you have much information about female condoms? Have you ever seen one or looked at one or bought one or used one? I never have either. and I feel like that sort of, there's a lot of information lacking on that. I don't think I've ever even seen a female condom in a store, and I'm not exactly sure what they look like or how they work. I know that they work similar to the male condom. You just put it inside the vagina, but I don't know anything else.
I don't either.
Would you guys use a female condom, or would that be weird?
Well, if they're more common, like, guy condoms are, like, everywhere. You can get them so at your clinic, the store.
If you were more used to it, maybe if you'd heard about it more, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I would have any objections to using one. I'd
feel better, because, like, it's your responsibility, so yeah. You should always have something like that on
you. So you know that you'll always be protected. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think I would have any problems with using one. It's just, I remember in school, you know, we would learn about male condoms, and sometimes they have you put the condom on the banana or whatever, but I don't think anyone ever brought in any female condoms that I can remember. I don't know, they seem sort of obscure.
I know on Health Day this year, I've seen, like, she had one, lady who was throwing, like, yeah.
Yeah. Health fair, did you practice putting condoms on, or did you see how it was done, or
she walked around with like a wood stick type thing, and she let each of us put a condom on it.
Oh, okay, so you did get some practice. Yeah, that's good. So I do just want to give out the phone numbers one more time, because you know, I realize many people might be driving in the car or not have a pen nearby. So I really just want everyone to have an opportunity to get these numbers, so you have the information, you know, you know where to call and get help. The numbers, okay, so this is for Willits, the Mendocino Community Health Clinic. The number is 456-9600. And that is located on Hazel Street, if anyone's interested, 45 Hazel Street in downtown Willits. The other number in Potter Valley is 707-743-9931. And the Long Valley Health Center in Laytonville, which I have personally been to, and I can attest to how nice all the nurses and all the doctors are. I love everyone there. They're really helpful. That number is 984-6131. In another clinic in Fort Bragg is the Mendocino Coast Clinics. Their number is 964-1251. On River Drive in Fort Bragg, we have Mendocino Coast Hospital at 964-5381. And in Ukiah, we have two clinics, the Mendocino Community Health Clinic on Laws Avenue, 468-1010, and the Mendocino Family Health Care in Ukiah, and their phone number is 937-4202. We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about birth control and family planning. Have you learned anything from our discussion of the methods of contraception available today? Have you had experiences using any of these methods? If you are young, is this information widespread in high schools? If you are a parent, how do you approach your children with this kind of knowledge? Should the schools make a point of teaching sex education? Do they? Do you believe that all teens should be abstinent, thereby avoiding other methods of birth control and STIs? Are you glad that young people in our community can easily get assistance with contraception? Or do you think that this encourages sexual activity among them? Do you think that there are health risks involved in using any of the contraceptions we have discussed? Is the openness of gay lifestyles a factor in the decrease of unintended teen pregnancies? Are youth pushed into sexual activity because of our media and advertising? What advice would you offer to young people about sexual activity in high school? Please speak with us and the listening community about birth control and family planning. We all need to hear about each other's experiences and ideas about these subjects. The phone number again is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We would really like to hear from you. Your input is what community radio is all about. Please call in.
So, Janelle, when you were in high school, was it, like, different, or did teachers and everyone talk to you about sexually transmitted diseases and, like, how to prevent them and everything?
I think we did have some similar programs to what you have. We had the health day. It was just, you know, one day once a year where we learned about stuff, and I personally don't think that's enough. But yeah, that's all we had other than peer counselors giving us information in high school.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say that I think you guys are doing a really good job, and this is a really important topic, and it's not that easy to talk about. But I just wanted to call and share my experience with the fertility awareness method.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, I like to call the rhythm method my son Jude, who is awesome, and I love him, but he's enough. And
yeah.
I was on birth control from the time I was 18 until I was 31, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I went off of it. I, you know, found the love of my life, and I knew the hormones were doing something to me. I wasn't quite sure what, but so I went off, and I had a baby on the rhythm method. That's counting days, counting to day 14, assuming that we all ovulate on day 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this fertility awareness thing that is scientifically proven, and
mm-hmm.
it's the only thing that I found that works for me that I don't have allergic reactions to or adverse, you know, any kind of weird infections. And I just wanted to share that and just really urge people to investigate this. And even if not for birth control or pregnancy achievement, which is, you know, kind of what it's marketed for,
mm-hmm.
but because I think that every woman should know things about their body that tell us when things are happening and how we can chart that and just know these things and not have to rely on hormones and, you know, things that we don't necessarily trust or have much control over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, you know, knowing about the information, you know, about your body. I do think that can really help.
What kind of reactions did you have to the hormonal methods?
Well, actually, I did really well on them while I was on them. It regulated my period, and I didn't gain a lot of weight like a lot of people do. But now that I've gotten into this fertility awareness and I'm charting my fluid every day,
mm-hmm.
taking my temperature, I don't have regular cervical fluid buildup because what happens over time, I've learned after, you know, some research, is that the hormones start to, they make your cervical crypts grow over the cervix, and so you're just, like, continuously producing this fluid that is fertile quality all the time, but
mm-hmm.
just kind of, you know, what I do anyway is I check it every day multiple times a day, and I've had to work really hard to read my body as opposed to maybe somebody that had never messed with themselves.
Okay.
you know, because, I mean, that's what it does. It induces perfect ovulation circumstances or perfect infertility circumstances
mm-hmm.
in us, and perfect is nature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely noticed a lot of things and my moods.
Mm-hmm.
I've been off of it. I have noticed that I was really kind of zombie-ish, you know, and I was on it for a long time. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of an extreme circumstance. But this fertility awareness, it's amazing. I'm 34 years old, and I, you know, I'll be honest, I just learned where my cervix is. So, and it's opened up a really, like, whole new awesome world of being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I would say to the young women, because, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for your call in.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm turning it on the radio. I just think you're so brilliant. I'm so glad you're doing this, and I just wanted to offer a few cautionary measures. As a person, first of all, I want to acknowledge that I think that way too much of birth control is put on the woman involved because she will bear the burden of it. But
mm-hmm.
when we know that, then we make decisions and we do things that maybe we know aren't going to be so great for us in the long run, but it will allow us to be the women we want to be in our early adulthood. And I did many years of birth control and ended up dealing with serious blood clot issues. And that was a very scary thing, but it was less scary to me than having an unwanted pregnancy. And the main thing I wanted to just put out there is about the issue of ectopic pregnancies. And I know that the current IUDs are different than the early IUDs, but I just would like to say, if you're a woman out there and you are using an IUD-type birth control device and you suddenly think you've got a really bad flu or the fever or you're very sick suddenly, don't discount that it might be that your immune system is so strong that you are isolating an infection that has gone up the cord, and maybe you all can speak better to the difference between the old IUDs and the new IUDs. But when that happens, and one's such a healthy person that they don't know it, you end up with scarring in your fallopian tubes, and then what can happen is what's called an ectopic pregnancy, and it's happened so many times that there are class suits where the egg gets fertilized in the fallopian tube. It isn't allowed to drop down into the uterus, and many women have died. I came very close to dying under those circumstances. So I just would like anyone who chooses that method of birth control to know if they have these kind of symptoms, they should check things out, and if they aren't feeling, if they're not feeling normal and they're using this method of birth control, to please check it out so they don't end up in an emergency room nearly bleeding to death. Do you have any question for me, or shall I hang up?
I have some comments. You can take them on or off the air.
I'd be curious what they are.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank you for mentioning the ectopic pregnancy. That is a really serious issue, and I hope, you know, people really take into consideration your warning because, you know, it can lead to very serious complications, I've heard.
Especially if you want to be a mother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing. If you don't care if you're ever going to be a mother, then it's fine. But the risks that you're taking if you ever really want to be a mother when you're ready to be a mother, that's different.
Yeah, and there are, with the IUDs, I don't know much about the IUDs that they first started with. I know that the first one was a copper IUD. And
copper sevens, yeah.
Yeah,
I think,
and
there was a whole class suit.
Yeah, I did hear that there were lots of problems with that. They do still have a copper IUD that lasts for 10 years, and I'm not sure of the specifics, but it has gotten safer, definitely. But I do know a lot about the Mirena, the hormonal IUD, and I actually used it for a while. But there are some more serious risks that you really have to take into consideration. And one of the, well, two of the serious risks that I was concerned about, my main concern was that if you do happen to get pregnant while you have the IUD, which is statistically a very small chance, but it can happen, then you are at greater risk of having a miscarriage. And that was my main reason for discontinuing the Mirena. And one of the other issues is that if you do get an STI, it can travel up that string and it can get into your uterus and lead to infertility, which was also another issue for me.
And if you have a really strong immune system, because this was my instance, you know, you just think, oh my God, I'm really sick, I've got the flu.
Yeah.
But what's really happening is that your body is so strong and your immune system is so strong that you're just isolating it, and then, you know, you fight it off. But the scar tissue develops. So I'll get off the air and let other people call in, but I'm just so thrilled that women like yourself are doing what you're doing and empowering people and thinking about what you're doing. And I just would like to end once again saying that I don't think so much of birth control should be on the shoulders of the woman.
Yes, thank you. I really agree with that. And I do think there are a lot of males that take an interest. Unfortunately, we were going to have another male student at Leightonville High be in the show with us, which I was really excited about, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. But we were lucky enough to get Shayna instead. So, yes, thank you for your comments about that. And if there are any men listening, please call in and let us know your opinions on that. If you think that that's an issue and it's something that you're concerned about, I'd like to mention once again our phone number here at the Willett Studio is 456-9991, and we really do appreciate all your callers. Thank you to that last caller for your personal insights and for, you know, alerting young women to the risks. While some of these birth control methods are more effective at preventing pregnancy, some of them do come with additional risks that we really need to be aware of. And I think it's really important to have a good doctor that you feel comfortable talking with, someone who, you know, can give you lots of information and you can, you know, tell them about your concerns or what's going on with your body, even if it is a little difficult to talk about sometimes. Do you guys, do you think that you have good, like healthcare providers that you have met, that you were able to talk to easily?
Yeah, I think we have great healthcare providers. Like, they have really helped me out because I don't know much about birth controls and stuff. Well, mm-hmm. I've learned quite a bit now, but when I first, like, got into it, like, mm-hmm. wanting to know what it was about and stuff, I learned a lot from my doctor, and I learned some from my mom, but it's really, like, hard to know, like, how you might get side effects. Like, your doctor will tell you, but mm-hmm. being young like me, like, it's hard to know how your body's going to react to things without, you know, experiencing them first.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing because I don't want something bad to happen. I don't know how things like that, like, I just don't know how to control things like that. And it's very hard.
Definitely.
And I have a really young mom, so it's also harder to learn about other contraceptives and stuff.
Ooh. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I wonder whether you think it would make high school students take birth control any more seriously for both men and women, young men and women, if they were required to spend more time, maybe even a period during a school day, helping take care of children. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
I do think that that would definitely help. A lot of students I know who have younger siblings or nieces and nephews around, they can sort of really understand how much it really takes to take care of a child. And, you know, people say that it's like a full-time job, but it's not like a full-time job. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's way more than that. It's every single moment of your existence thinking about someone else, you know, even ahead of yourself. So I do think that would really help really drive home what it means to be a parent and what they are risking by having unprotected sex, especially for young people.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think if you are taking on that responsibility of having someone younger than, like, having a child or something, you're definitely putting it before yourself. And if you are young and you are wanting to go to college and trying to focus on mainly that, then it is definitely going to be a lot more difficult for you to do that.
Callers, if you are young, is this information widespread in high schools? And if you're a parent, how do you approach your children with this kind of knowledge? Please call in and let us know. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, ladies, I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for having this show. I think you're very, very brave to be talking about this on the radio. I even felt a little nervous calling. But the reason why I was calling is I just wanted to give a big shout-out to the NuvaRing. And I used it for a couple years before I decided to have my child. And it just really worked great for me for a couple reasons. The first being I didn't have to think about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible with taking my pills. Mm-hmm. I'd always forget. I could barely take my vitamins. And even though I knew it was very important, I still would forget. So that really didn't help with contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was that it has very, very low side effects. Or it did for me. Almost none. I couldn't even really think of any when I was going to make the call. So it's tiny. It's like the size of like a hair rubber band that you put in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as flexible. And if there's any young girls out there, or I don't know how it would work if you have multiple partners because of the STIs, but if you're having trouble making a decision for contraception, I would highly recommend the NuvaRing. It's a really amazing product, and it's really freeing. So thank you so much for your program. You guys are wonderful, and that's all I wanted to say. So thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm an adult woman listening to this radio station and just think it's wonderful that you are raising this topic and bringing awareness. And one thing that I'd like to add and wish I had known about when I was a teenager was a woman's fertility cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that we women are fertile, you know, once a month, and that our bodies give certain signs as to when it's possible for us to get pregnant. And that I think it's really empowering when women learn about their fertility rhythms and know when they really need to be advocates and know that they need birth control and know the times when they're not fertile.
Mm-hmm. Have you figured out, like, how to figure out your fertility cycle, or?
I did. I decided to get pregnant when I was 39, so I read a book on how to get pregnant, and it taught me how to read my body so that I knew when I was most fertile and could easily achieve pregnancy. And there's plenty of books out there that teach women this, but basically it's getting a calendar and taking your temperature every day,
mm-hmm.
and checking your vaginal secretions. And when a woman is most fertile, she'll notice that her temperature rises slightly.
It's mm-hmm.
about a 3-day process where your temperature rises a bit, and your vagina gets a little bit wetter because it's secreting the lubricant that allows sperm to travel.
Okay.
And then there's some other signs, too, that women can do with their bodies to know when they're ovulating. The skin is really clear. We're probably feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I for the information, I do think that it would be very helpful if at some of the health fairs or health days and the sessions in there, women did learn more about their bodies and their cycles, because there's a lot going on. And, you know, I think especially for young people, the mood changes throughout your cycle, I think if you sort of understood why it was happening and, you know, how long it was going to last, mm-hmm. I think that information would be really helpful to a lot of young people, definitely myself included. If I know why I'm so angry at everyone, it makes me a little less angry.
Yes, yes. And knowing what kinds of things to do to help those moods. There's foods and exercises.
Interesting. Do you know of any of the specific foods that you can list off real quick that would help with mood swings?
Oh, I always find chocolate to be nice.
Okay, yeah.
It releases some serotonin. But, you know, I think with each woman, hormonally, different things are happening. So I can't say in general what
Okay,
foods,
just whatever makes cravings. You feel the best.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So thank you, ladies, for hosting this really informative, remarkable radio program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
I'd like to comment on what the last caller said, too, about the NuvaRing. I also tried the NuvaRing for a while in high school, and I was also quite pleased with it. It's definitely really easy to put in. I didn't have any problems, and I also didn't have any problems with the hormonal side effects. I've also noticed I've tried several different types of birth control, just because I was sort of curious. I wanted to see, you know, what worked best for me. During all of them, I've actually noticed some positive side effects, my cycle has been more regulated. You know, I have shorter, lighter periods, less cramping, my skin is clear. And I think these are definitely some of the reasons that young women do choose hormonal methods of birth control besides the pregnancy prevention fact. I do think that, you know, they can help with severe acne, and some types of birth control pills can also help with PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is similar to PMS, but it has very intense, drastic symptoms that can really affect your life. So while there are definitely some risks and some negative side effects to birth control, thank you, that last caller, for just pointing out that it all, you know, sort of depends on individually how you react to it. And some women can definitely have some, you know, blood clotting and stuff, some very serious things that you need to watch out for. But some women have a really positive experience with birth control.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why do, like, for the fact, like, I never even knew that there's so much you could learn about the body, like the
fertility awareness.
Yeah, I've never heard of that until today. and now I'm really curious about it, but why don't, like, my doctors ever try and tell me about it?
I think that's a really good question. Maybe it's something that, you know, you should bring up and learn more information about it. I would like to learn more.
Okay. That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Elora, and
Janelle.
Shayna.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. We want to thank Healthy Start for giving us assistance for the past 3 years. Thanks especially to Jema and Nikki. You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resilience opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at psanborn@mcoe.us. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.uspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of August, the 29th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all at the end of next month.